Oh, it's March. You know what that means. It's March Madness. Hello, and welcome to Big Ben and K-Win on NoFilter.net. The next 3 weeks, we're going to bring to you March Madness podcast. NBA, we're putting it on hold. But don't worry, 3 weeks from now, the Warriors will still be in the play-in game. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander will still be the MVP frontrunner, and no one will still challenge the Celtics out there in the least. I'm in the East. If you're new to the show, welcome. Longtime listener, welcome back. Each week we broadcast live, nofilter.net, Caffeine TV, and YouTube. Tonight we're getting to March Madness. We're going to pick four teams, sleepers, that will bust your bracket if you do not listen to this podcast. I'm K-Win. He's Big Ben, and in March he goes by Benny Brackets.
Benny Brackets. I've won some brackets in previous years. I've lost some brackets. But I would say before you go into your own bracketology, if you would, you have to have some sense of why you're picking some teams, some formula. Is it seniors, six-year seniors are going to win out? Is it they have a coach that's been there previously? Tom Izzo's team might barely make the tournament, but high probability he gets a Sweet 16. He just does. Is it they shoot threes? They've got the highest three-point percentage in the – is it they got quality big men? We know that formula didn't work last year with Zach Edey and Purdue, so I would avoid that formula again this year. All that said, it is probably this collegiate basketball to you and I think is very enjoyable in respects to my Cougs this year have outperformed.
Oh yeah,
in the Pac-12. Now I have a chance playing UW right now to close out and finish with a regular season title.
Ranked 17th in the country right now.
So the Cougs share a Pac-12 title. What, as long as they're in the tournament, that's something that's over. That's under deliver. Or excuse me, over under promising and over delivering. And a lot of these teams that are getting in this year, if you look up and down the bracket, are similar to the Cougs, which means upsets abound, which means Purdue, Zach Edey, 1 year, let's say more mature as a team. Still, better I don't personnel. Think they're effective in March.
Well, Purdue has better ball play this year. They do have some transfers. They have a better season this year than last season, but I'm still not picking the Purdue Boilermakers. So if you look at it, you've got who's at the tier one? You've got Purdue. You've got Houston. You've got UConn, the defending champs. Tier two, you probably got Tennessee, you got Arizona, you got Carolina and Duke, and everyone else. It's a wide open field. And I love this field because it's primed for an upset. Can you hear me, Big Ben? Because I'm dropping knowledge here. All right. Well, while Big Ben fixes his audio, I'm going to get into it a little bit right now. So we have UConn playing at a very high level. Won the championship last year. And if you listen to the pod, Big Ben and K-Win actually picked it based on our advanced algorithm. Our advanced algorithm consisted of you need multiple, which means two or more, NBA players that can project to the NBA and maybe a first-round talent. UConn didn't have two first-round players, but they had two players playing the NBA. They also have Jacob Cleanham, or whatever his name is, the big guy inside. So this year, they're looking good. Are you with me, Big Ben?
I slightly. Go back over the formula. We need two NBA prospects on the team is what you're
saying. I'm saying two NBA players. They got to get to the – they got to be so good playing at such a high level that they win the tournament, they go to the Final Four, and they catapult themselves into the first round or the second round based on their play. Elite NBA talent. And if they're an underclassman, they don't declare, they're going the next year.
So let's call them hungry seniors would be your formula. I want guys that are juniors, seniors that are maybe have been overlooked by NBA scouts and need to make a name for themselves. They're going to be have more of an incentive to play well in March.
This is the biggest NBA combine that people don't talk about. It's the next 3.5-4 weeks of the NCAA tournament. That's when you're playing against advanced competition, a pressure environment, and with something at stake and a lot of eyeballs.
So give me a few of those players, and you probably already did. Give me a few of those guys.
That's next week. We're going teams this week because I didn't do enough research on individual players. We're going teams this week. Which teams are going to bust brackets? Which teams are sleepers that are going to advance, win multiple games in multiple weekends? We don't know the brackets right now, but we're going to give you some teams that you should look at in your bracket, and you should select them depending on the bracket because they're going to at least win. I mean, I don't know about Ben's picks, but mine, both of mine are going to the Sweet 16.
Okay, I'm going to give you two. I'm going to call it coast to coast. I'm going to start with the first. And this isn't
one, so I can banter on it and pick it apart before you give your second one.
Okay. I'm going to just give you this might be a layup for those that have followed college basketball the last 2 years. That's Florida Atlantic. Final Four team last year. And this is the thing back going back to what you had said about all these guys coming back. You know, they saw that, you know, maybe the NBA wasn't in the cards for them per se. But another year, everyone's back. They play. I think it's, you know, when there's a target on your back, when you win, when you go to the Final Four, everyone's up for you.
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you're the Owls. And this year they haven't played as well. They haven't performed up to expectations. But that doesn't mean they haven't been there before. Right? When we talk about March Madness, have you been there before? Do you know what that experience is like? Do you know what the anxiety that brings? Do you know the stress? Are you able to live up to those expectations in March? I think Florida Atlantic has, Lenardi has his bracketology out, and they're at a 10 seed.
Okay.
They're at a 10 seed. I don't know what their seed was last year. What was their seed last year when they made the Final Four?
I don't know. It was a double-digit seed.
It was a double-digit seed, so they'll do it again. It's not as though it hasn't been done. And I think they have just knowing that the makeup of that team, everyone came back and they've been there before. And the coach, obviously, same coach was there, brought them there. So there's some clout that they're going to carry. And I wouldn't want to play them if I'm a 10. If I'm a 10 seed and I'm a 7 seed in any bracket, I don't want to see Florida Atlantic.
I don't either. They're 23-7. They'll get to the big dance. It's all about coaching and composure. Coaching, he's been there. He knows what it takes. He knows the X's and O's. He knows the matchup. He knows what to do before the game. He knows what to do during the game. He knows what to do at halftime. And the players won't panic if they get down early, if another team takes a big lead, if one of their better players get into foul trouble. I like that pick. Florida Atlantic, I can't say anything bad about that. Great job, Big Ben.
Dusty May, and they got a 7-footer, Golden, transfer from Texas Tech. You take pieces on, and you, if you're Dusty May and you said, this team got me to a Final Four, all you have to add is a few pieces.
Transfer portal.
Exactly. All right, what don't I have? I don't have a rim defender. All right, I'm going to go grab a 7-foot-1 guy from Texas Tech. Say, buddy, we made the Final Four last year. We think you can get us all the way there. Game over. That's a great sell. Dusty May had probably the easiest time of any coach, maybe bringing kids to Florida. If you've been to Florida Atlantic, it's not a bad campus. Not far from Daytona Beach, the Daytona 500. Someone likes NASCAR. Dusty had it all going.
What a difference a year makes. Like 2 years ago when he's calling these kids, it was going straight to voicemail.
They were saying, ooh, Al, who are you?
Ooh. Oh, I love that. I'll get into my first pick. It's a blue blood, Kentucky. The Kentucky Wildcats. Right now, they're on a 3-game win streak. Big game coming up against Tennessee. That will be a big game because Tennessee could be a 1 seed. So depending on what Kentucky does in that game and the SEC tournament, they can be anywhere from, let's call it a 2 seed on the high end to a 5 seed on the low end. But here's why I like them. Each year, Coach Cal reloads freshmen. He had 8 of them this year, 8 freshmen. The number one recruiting class in the nation. 3 of the freshmen, DJ Wagner, Aaron Bradshaw and Justin Edwards were in the top 6 of their class. But those aren't the 2 freshmen making the difference. It is Reed Shepard and it is Rob Dillingham. 2 4-star recruits, freshmen, are dominating. Reed Shepard is the best shooting guard in the country, 51% from deep. Rob Dillingham, he's like Kemba Walker. Big shot taker, big shot maker. They have all these people playing at the right time. I'm talking elite offense, efficient offense. They've scored 100 points 4 times in the SEC. They can go get it. They've got multiple players. They got multiple wings. I haven't even told you about their leading scorer. He's a senior. Antonio Reeves puts up 20 a game. Look out for the Cats. I've got them going to the Sweet 16. Now. Listen here, folks. I'm going to look in the camera. If you are doing multiple brackets, like 3, 4, 5, or 6, you need to pick Kentucky to the Final Four and one. Don't pick them in everyone, because this is a feast or famine team. They can shoot it, but they play no defense. It's high risk, high reward. And I like these kids, Reed Shepard, Rob Dillingham, DJ Wagner. That's 3 first rounders. Whew. That's NBA talent, baby.
Kentucky does a phenomenal job of producing talent from the bench, NBA talent that sits there and plays 10 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I don't know how many minutes Shea played, but like there's Booker, for example, I think played 16 minutes his freshman year. And I mean, the immense amount of talent that Calipari has there every year, and Shepard being a legacy. I don't know about, is it first round?
They're saying Reed Shepard is a top 5 pick. Woo! They're saying Rob Dillingham is a top 5 pick too. DJ Wagner's at the end of the first round. But your point is right. Like, I go through the Kentucky guards in my head. Jamal Murray, he was awesome. I knew he was going to be a star. John Wall, I knew it too. Shea, I'm like, who is this guy? Devin Booker, we didn't see enough. That's because they have so much talent. John Calipari said, enjoy these people while they're here, because they're the next stars in the NBA.
Hey, if you put this in the context of a college football season, say this is it, and you're going into a bowl game and someone says you're a top 5 pick, and this bowl game means little to nothing, like, you might sit out. Shepard's a top 5 guy right now.
Yeah.
This is risky in his eyes, right? So you might be right. Like, Shepard, you're either going to play your way, solidify yourself as a top 5 pick, or, you know, if someone finds some deficiency in you in the tournament,
exposes you.
Exposed, right? I like that pick.
Kentucky.
They're sleepy. Like, Tennessee's got a lot of Tennessee won the first share of their first SEC title in some time when they beat South Carolina. That's a good pick. I like that. That's sneaky. And I like that you blue-blooded too. Just, of course, they've been there before.
Well, Calipari's figured it out. And it goes back to my earlier point. He had 8 freshmen. He had to figure out the rotations and the matchups. And so now he's doing 4 ball handlers. He's going small in 1 7-footer. He's got 3 7-footers that he rotates with this carriage of guards who can just shoot the ball 5 wide, spread them out. Reed Shepard is leading the team in assists and 3-point buckets and field. He might be the national freshman of the year, Big Ben.
So you're saying that they've got all the pieces and they're going to figure it out just in time for March.
Just in time.
You take some L's because maybe you didn't have the right rotation going. If you're Calipari, some guys were hurt. You didn't know where to play guys, defensive rotations, whatever it may be. But those are all null and void when you enter, because that's all that matters, right? If you win home championship or hit the Final Four, no one looks at your loss call for that year. That's all they talk about, Final Four or championship.
That's right.
Okay, I'm going to go. My next pick is going to come from a litter of 3 teams that are all within, I believe, 60 miles of each other. I could be wrong. Could be a little more. Could be a little less. It's a little triad, a little Bermuda Triangle of Eastern Washington basketball.
Ooh, okay. Talk to me.
Janey Washington, Pullman Washington this year. And then some were thinking that Gonzaga wasn't even going to be around come March, but they played their way into, as of today, the bracketology as a 7 seed. So you have 3 teams from Eastern Washington, all within 60 miles. I would love to talk.
We've got Wazoo, Gonzaga. Who's the third one? Eastern Washington?
Eastern Washington. So out of the Big Sky. Here's what Eastern Washington did early in the season. And this isn't my team. I don't know if I'm going to pull any stake. I will just say, if they get the right matchup, they went out and played Utah, at Ole Miss, at Cincinnati, at Stanford, at South USC, at Air Force. They went everywhere and played anyone and everyone that would play. And they set that up. The Big Sky, they've dominated. They had some, forget the brothers that ended up transferring out of there. They've had some runs in the NCAA tournament these last few years. That said, I gotta talk about my Cougs.
Let's hear it.
Jalen Wells and Isaiah Watts. So here's a name. Wells has got a lot of play. He's a freshman. But Isaiah Watts, as of late, I keep getting texts from my mom. She loved Rajon Rondo. And she's like, this Isaiah Watts kid. And just to take you a step further into kind of Seattle basketball, he played at West Seattle High School. His father is Donald Watts. Donald Watts played Dub.
So and played for the Supersonics.
No, Slick Watts, who's Donald's father, played for the Sonics. So it's, yes, you see how the lineage works. And so Isaiah all thought that he would end up at UW. Well, not enough scholarships. We don't know if we like him. So Kyle Smith signed him. He, as of the last few games, you can see him getting his confidence. And what I think teams are going to do within the tournament is focus on Wells. So you're going to need another guy that can hit shots. The last few nights, I think all in over the course of the last three games, which would be tonight, as I looked at the stats before we got on, UCLA and USC, I think he was shooting 60% from deep, 6 of 10. So another guy that can score. And Jaminovsky is another. So he's a senior. I think he's a sixth year, maybe a seventh year. But he's like the linchpin of the Cougs. The guy can shoot from deep. He's a Euro guy, Euro baller, pick threes, hold them together. And I just, you got to have some excitement around your university, right? It'd be like Santa Clara, you know, making a run.
Santa Clara did beat the Cougs earlier this year.
I mean, yeah.
So that's a quad one win for my Broncos.
So Kyle Smith, what I think will be his last, potentially the last year at Pullman.
So he's going to use this to get a new job?
If you're Kyle Smith and you know that you're going to go play in the Mountain West or some other, you know, who knows who you're playing, it's going to take a lot to put together a basketball schedule next year for the Cougs. It is. It took a lot to put together a football schedule. And then when asked about his extension, his response is something. It's something we ping pong around, no, but we don't really address it because he knows full well that if he takes a team that was predicted to be 10th in the Pac-12 and takes them to a first round, second round win, you know, he's going to go from San Francisco to Wazoo to, you know, who knows where after, but certainly he'll be a sought after name after this year. I think regardless of, unless they just puke these in the Pac-12 tournament, in the NCAA tournament, but I don't think that's likely to happen. So what I'm saying there is there's probably some motivation on everyone's part to play well. And the key would be Watts, I think, coming off the bench. And with the Seattle lineage, I think the entire city of Seattle will get behind the Cougs, seeing as the Dogs stink this year too. So,
ooh, so the Pacific Northwest is pulling for the Cougs and not the Dogs. It's
Wheatfield underdogs. Like everyone likes an underdog. Everyone likes some, and that's the thing. The Cougs still have some ties into the city with the players, like Watts, a few other guys that played here locally. So I'm trying not to get too excited, but I will be going to a sports book and putting some money on the Cougs. I don't know if you can make a Final Four bet. I might do an NCAA final or title bet just for that hope.
This is the year, right?
It is. You look back. Look back to the Cougs. Like when I was in school, we went to two straight Sweet 16s with Kyle Weaver, who played in the NBA a little bit. Derek Lowe, that maybe sniffed the NBA a little bit. Taylor Rochesty, Robbie Cowgill, and Devin Harmeling. Like the fact I can still name those guys, like, you can see the thirst for Coug fans to have a good basketball team. But it has been almost 20 years since we've seen the Cougs present in the NCAA tournament. So a lot of pent up. And, I, you know, candidly, if you look at how bad the Dogs have been as of late too, yeah. I want to, you know, it's kind of like the little brother mentality. Like, okay, I might watch. I might cheer for the Cougs. Which, without the Sonics around, people, it's a basketball city without a basketball team.
100%. And in the last year of the Pac-12, football had a great banner year. The last year for the Pac-12 for basketball, they're going to get two teams in, as it looks like as of today, Arizona and Washington State, unless Colorado does something magical or Oregon does something magical and wins the tournament. It's been a very down year for the Pac-12 as it relates to basketball.
Could you imagine the narrative without the Cougs of the Pac-12? It'd be miserable. Yeah. It'd be a laughing stock. But the center of the conversation around the Pac-12 is around the Cougs and the fact that they beat Arizona twice this year. That's a quad 1A, whatever you want to call it, win, right? You can't deny you're a good team if you can go into Arizona and win. That's a tougher place, toughest probably place to play in the Pac-12 outside of Boulder.
I do want to get Colorado in there somehow, some way, so we can see what Cody Williams, the freshman at Boulder, will do. That's Jalen Williams, OKC, small forward, wing, whatever you want to call it. It's his younger brother. He's projected a top five pick. I would love to see him get there and the Pac-12 get two teams. Here it is, bold prediction. Colorado. The Colorado Buffaloes will win the Pac-12 tournament and get in the NCAA tournament.
I don't disapprove of that, just simply because if you're the – like, think about it. If you're the Cougs and it's like, hey, you're going to be a fifth seed, you know, whether you kind of win out or you don't, you know, maybe you rest. I don't know. But, yeah, the hungrier team that's the ones that has nothing to lose is always the most dangerous, and that's Colorado and that's Oregon, right? So, and Altman's not a bad coach.
Not a bad coach. He's been there before.
He has been there before.
Cougs, I like that pick. I'm going to give you my pick. It's also the Cougs. It's the BYU Cougars, though.
Ooh.
And listen up, folks. Their floor is the Sweet 16, and their ceiling is the Elite Eight. The Cougars left the WCC and they went into the Big 12, arguably the best conference in all of college basketball. The Big 12 might get 8, 9, 10 teams in. And BYU has looked great. They beat Kansas. They beat Iowa State. They beat Baylor. They almost beat Iowa State earlier this week. They're up 12. But listen to me. This is the best BYU Cougars team since the Jimmer Fredette era. In all the advanced metrics, the KenPom metrics, they're top 10 team. They've got seven players that average over 9 points. They've got Dallin Hall, point guard, sophomore. He's heady. He's steady. Five assists a game. But their best player, their most dynamic player, is Jackson Robinson, 6'7" guard off the bench, and one of the best scoring big men. And outside, they can shoot that thing. And that's what I love. Transition and three-point shots and team ball. And I'm not going to say anything else, but I do know they have a lot of older players. I'm not going to get into why they have older players, but they have a lot of older players. That's a lot of experience, and they're not going to cower when the lights are bright. BYU Cougars, Elite Eight, all brackets.
It seems like the BYU's – I mean, when they played in the WCC, they were the nuisance to Gonzaga and St. Mary year after year, year after year. And it's a tough place to play when you – it's Provo, right?
Provo, yeah.
I mean, it's – you're right. And with missions and players coming back.
They beat Kansas in Lawrence. Like, Kansas, that's hard to do.
Kansas is overrated. I want to love – see, here's if I want to get into two teams that I don't believe just due to the makeup.
Let's hear it.
Hunter Dickerson. Like, listen, that again, that's going to work in your grinded out conference games. And you're up and down, March Madness, shoot, get buckets. It's rare you're going to be able to slow the game down enough to make those guys effective. And it's just there's a way you can – any team playing Kansas or Purdue can scheme to take those guys out of the game, right? Yeah. And I, from what I saw from Kansas, I'll just speak to Kansas. McCuller Jr.'s played well. They floundered. They're not tough. They're not. I don't see it. And Hunter Dickerson's a little soft, in my opinion. But
well, the two teams I just mentioned, BYU and Kentucky, they shoot the lights out from three. They go five wide. They stretch them out. So Edie and Hunter Dickerson would have to come all the way out and try to guard. And the layups are wide open. And if they're hitting threes, it doesn't matter if Edie or Hunter Dickerson score 40 points. It's a math equation. Three is better than two. It's what the NBA has done.
I absolutely agree with you. And now thinking through this, I'm going to do a – if obviously I can't make a bet bracket bet yet. So this might fail if I'll do a Cougar v Cougar.
Okay.
NCAA title game.
Oh, wow. Well, let's wait and see the brackets come out.
Well, I know. That's what I'm saying. All right. When are we talking next? When are we talking matchups? When are we talking regions? The reveal is what? Sunday?
The reveal is, let me look at my calendar. The reveal is not this Sunday. It is the 17th. Ooh, St. Patty's Day! So next week, we're talking players. What players you should watch. And then we might have to – when do you leave for Palm Springs?
19th.
Perfect. We'll do it either on the 17th or the 18th.
Okay, deal.
Deal. Before I let you out of here, I want to talk a little bit about Carolina Duke. They play on Saturday. Carolina is guaranteed at least a partial of the ACC title. Is there a better rivalry in sports than Carolina Duke?
I'm playing through all these.
Michigan, Ohio State.
Yeah.
Yankees, Red Sox.
No, and here's why. And it's in the context of where it's played. Like the Tobacco Road, the locality of the teams, just it dates back to it's rivalries between recruits. Yeah. It's, you know, just who's got more players in the NBA. You know, it's and my dad. I was a Carolina guy, girl. Like you, it was almost those.
I'm a Carolina guy too.
Exactly. You almost had to pick. If you were a basketball player, you had to pick an allegiance. Like growing up, you couldn't be. You had to be Duke with like Leitner and all these guys, or you had to be Carolina growing up and you know watching.
Jordan Worthy.
Well, you're a little older than me.
Antoine Jameson, Eric Montross.
No. What's not. Jay Billis, no.
Johnny Dawkins, Duke. Who was at Carolina when you were growing up?
Bloody Face.
Eric Munch? Oh, Tyler Hansborough.
There you go.
Yeah, okay. Bloody Face.
Yeah, that guy was, you know, it wasn't T Insane. It was T something. But yeah.
T Psycho.
There you go. T Psycho, yes. So just the, like, my dad and I would always watch that matchup. Like, that'd be us sit down. That'd be the game we'd sit down and watch. I'm a loser has to buy dinner or something like that. I was always a thing. But, there's. I don't think there is. And it's within the context of it's just there's so many intersectionalities between the two teams. Like, just where they are, the coaches that have been there for such long tenure, the pedigree. They mirror each other so closely. And then I think when it comes down to recruits, too, it's like you're either a Duke guy or you're a Carolina guy.
Yeah.
So.
And it gets no better than Cameron Indoor Stadium or Camdoor Indoor Arena for that rivalry. Like Michigan, Ohio State, the Big House, that's 100,000 people. Yankees, Red Sox, that's like 60,000. I do think this game is not in Cameron, though. I think it's at Chapel Hill. But anyways. It's the rivalry game. It's everything. And who do you have winning the game?
I got Armando
Babcock.
He's been around a while. Like I got him leading the Tar Heels. I think the Tar Heels have a little run in them, Elite Eight run at least, maybe.
Oh, I stand corrected. It is at Duke. It's at Cameron. 7 versus 9. But I will go Tar Heels too, because in addition to Bobcat, you've got RJ Davis. Just think how good they would have been if Caleb Love would have stayed.
Yeah.
Or is it addition by subtraction?
I don't know. We'll see. Love's playing for Arizona, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to be interested. Just like I can sit here and toot my own horn and be like, I don't know how good Arizona is. Cougs beat them twice, right? Like it's. But you're right. Love is probably the Pac-12 player of the year. But yeah, if you're taking away the Pac-12 player of the year, you're probably better off having him on your team. My opinion. Yeah.
Well, 2 years ago, they went to the Final Four, but last year it was a mess. And I don't know if it was egos or what happened.
Like it's always like you hit 2 years in a row and then you lose to Princeton as a 15. Yeah, Princeton that's a 15 site. It's this, or you're Purdue and you're just you can't hit ever. It seems like. I mean.
All right. Well, you got a fight in the morning. So should we get out of here?
Yeah, Washington State, Florida Atlantic. Couldn't be further away from each other, but I think they have what it takes to make some noise.
And I've got the Kentucky Wildcats and the BYU Cougars. And Ben has BYU Cougars and Washington State Cougars in the national championship game. And who wins that game?
Oof. I was going to bring up something.
It's a game of don't get us canceled on this podcast.
The game of morality. It's not the Cougs. it would be a shootout.
Okay.
Be a shootout. The team with the ball last wins.
All right. Big Ben K win. Watch us each week. NoFilter.net, Caffeine TV, YouTube. Follow us on Instagram, X, TikTok, Facebook. Wherever you get your social media, at Big Ben Kwin underscore, at Big Ben Kwin underscore. Download, listen, subscribe to our podcast. 5-star review us everywhere you get your podcasts. I'm Kwin. He's Big Ben.
We're out. We're always 5 stars.
Boom.
Boom.
Have fun, Phoenix.
Later.